أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صلوات. Yesterday we talked about the secrets of fasting, and we mentioned three important fundamental secrets of fasting. We did not finish the subject yesterday. There is a short continuation, and thereafter we go to our subject of today as depicted in those emails that were sent to you. Fasting is basically in three levels. According to the scholars of ethics, the ethicians, they believe that fasting are in three levels in the holy month of Ramadan. Depending on our capacity, we fast according to the level we can fast. And this, alhamdulillah, is unanimous among the Sunnis as well as the Shias. The Sunnis also mention this in their books. The Shias also mention the same in their books, that fasting are of three levels. The first level that all of us, alhamdulillah, have the ability and the capacity to fast is to refrain from those things which we are supposed to refrain according to the fuqaha, according to what the maraja say after having deduced the laws from Quran and Sunnah, Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. After having deduced these laws, we are told that we have to refrain from eating, from drinking, and from many other things that we know according to the risala that we follow. This is the first level of fasting. This is known as the general fast, Sawmul Umum. And alhamdulillah, with Allah's grace, many of us are enabled to fast this kind of fasting throughout the years, because it's not very difficult. We have the patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us to have the patience to fast, with the exception of those people who psychologically feel that they cannot fast because they are chain smokers and so on. There are some habits that have been formed and they cannot be left. And under this pretext, they don't fast. These people, for example, depending on their situation, will be reprimanded on the day of judgment. This is the first level of fasting. But if you look at the Quran, the verse that we quoted, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that fasting, O believers, fasting has been prescribed for you the way it was prescribed for those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain piety and God-worthiness. That is, so that you may have that ability to refrain from every kind of sin, whether it's a sin of the eye or the hand or the leg or whatever. If you ponder over this verse, you find that the aim of fasting is to get that state of taqwa, that trait of taqwa rather. From yesterday's discussion, you know what I mean by the state and trait. We need to develop the trait of taqwa, that fixed thing that is in our self, so that whenever we come across an encounter or circumstance that makes us to go into sin, we ourselves know it and we refrain from that. Why? Because we have that trait of taqwa. According to this, we find that the second level, which is a higher level of fasting is known as Sawmul Khusus, specific fasting. And that is to enable all of the parts of our body to fast. That is, our eyes are also fasting. They refrain from those things which are not allowed to look at. Our ears are fasting, our hands are fasting, our thought also is fasting, our power of imagination is fasting, قُوَّ الْخِيَالِيَّ, our power of estimate, قُوَّ الْوَهْمِيَّ, also is fasting. All the members of our body are fasting. And this is what Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in his dua, when he welcomes the holy month of Ramadan, this is the supplication he asks for. This is the kind of fasting he seeks. And he also teaches us thereby that this is the kind of fasting we should seek. وَأَعِنَّا عَلَىٰ صِيَامِهِ. And O Allah, help us to fast in the holy month of Ramadan. How? بِكَفِّ الْجَوَارِحْ عَنْ مَعَاصِيكَ. بِكَفِّ الْجَوَارِحْ عَنْ مَعَاصِيكَ means so that we make the members of our body refrain from those things that are against you, from your sins. عَنْ مَعَاصِيكَ. This is the reality of fasting. This is according to the Imam. He tells us, he teaches us that this is how we should pray. That if we want to fast, each and every member of our body should fast. This is known as Sawmul Khusus. Obviously, this, if we reach this stage in the holy month of Ramadan, we have reached quite a high stage. And this is what we should opt for, generally all of us, because for years now, we have been fasting the first kind of fast. It's high time we look at the second kind of fast, which is higher, which is the aim of fasting, which makes us develop the trait of taqwa. This is what we should try to aspire in this holy month of Ramadan. Then slowly and gradually, if a person is enabled to fast that fast, a time comes when he can fast the last and the highest level of fasting, which is known as Sawmu Khususil Khusus, the most specific fast. And in this most specific fast, the human being becomes such that whatever he does for the sake of Allah and for the pleasure of Allah. He does not see other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart only contains Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is such that he does not have love for anything except Allah. So, in reality, his heart is also fasting. And this is the very high level. And this is the level that is talked about in that beautiful hadith that I quoted earlier from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who narrates it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a hadith Qudsi. And we have two interpretations for this hadith. And inshallah we'll look at these two interpretations. Very interesting. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, As-sawmu li. Fasting is for me. As-sawmu li. Wa ana ajzi bihi. And I am going to reward the same. Now this is the first kind of reading of this riwayah. But great scholars like Imam Khomeini, Mullah Hadi Sabzawari, and many other great scholars have said that no. Because if you go and see, all the other actions is belongs to Allah, and Allah rewards for these all other actions. This is how you should read. Not as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi, but as-sawmu li wa ana ujza bihi. That means that fasting is for me, and I myself am its reward. My proximity is its reward. And that is the highest stage of fasting a person can ever reach. Obviously, that is the main banquet for which we have been called in this holy month of Ramadan, when we are told, دُعِيتُمْ إِلَىٰ ضِيَافَةِ اللَّهِ وَجُعِلْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ كَرَامَةِ اللَّهِ. When the Holy Prophet says that in this month you have been invited and you have been made to be the guest of Allah, how is it that we are remote from the host? Do we benefit from the host if we are remote from the host? Obviously nothing. If a person invites us somewhere and we don't go there and we say, that from far we are going to eat your food, then that is something which is nonsensical, isn't it? You have to go to the host, isn't it? So when he du'itum ila ghiyafatillah means that you are called to the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we should aspire. And that is why Imam Khomeini would say on days of Eid that, you know, how many of us really entered the ghiyafatullah? How many entered the banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enjoyed from the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the word Allah itself is that ismul jami' that comprehends all other names of Allah. So if Allah is that, Rahman also comes inside, Rahim also comes, Jawad also comes, Kareem also comes. It is known as the all comprehensive name of Allah. So when we are told du'itum ila ziyafatillah, you have been called for the banquet of Allah, it signifies, according to authoritative scholars, it signifies that Allah wants you to enjoy from all the names that He has. You have the potential of enjoying all those names of His. So you should try and build yourself in this holy month of Ramadan to attain that apex of perfection. But for us, at least, the second station is extremely important. And that is Sawmul Khusus, the specific fast. At least we should make our eyes not look at what is haram, our ears not listen to what is haram, our legs not walk into places which is haram. That is the true fasting. That is that meaningful fast that we should try to aspire, according to Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi afdalu salawatul musallin. Now today, the subject that I have chosen to speak about is on how to prepare yourself for Laylatul Qadr. Now, if you remember, I just quoted one hadith and one particular practical instruction of how to prepare yourself for Laylatul Qadr. Before going to that, it's important again to allude to this important fact that, you know, whenever you want to go for something, or whenever you want to do something, like for example, you want to go for mountaineering, you can't just say, okay, jot down my name, I'm also joining, without having exercised, because there is a time when it's so difficult to go beyond a certain place, but you are told that now here, your intellect, your mind should also take you further. Your legs would not take you, but your mind would take you. And this is what really, once I happened to sit in such a gathering whereby those people were supposed to go for mountaineering, and I came to realize what are the conditions. So if you go and see, even if you go in the internet and check this, that to prepare yourself for mountaineering, you need something. You need certain important things to pursue so that you can come and get ready for that mountaineering. Similarly with the case of this. This is a spiritual kind of mountaineering that you are undertaking. And this obviously doesn't need physical exercises. It needs spiritual mortifications, which obviously we are not the authorities to tell you that do this and don't do that. It is the A'imma alayhim salam who are the perfect human beings who know what to do, what not to do. So according to the statements of the Holy Prophet and his infallible progeny, inshallah, we will look at what are the things that we can do to prepare for the holy month of for the Laylatul Qadr. Obviously, when looking at preparation, there is an anecdote that comes in my mind, and you must have heard of this very beautiful poet known as Jalaluddin Rumi. He has got a very beautiful work on poetry known as Masnavi, and this has been translated into English by various people. And in fact, Masnavi, if you go and see in many places, it depicts realities which we believe. One of the realities that Masnavi brings is very beautiful. He says that once upon a time, Chinese were very good painters, and Romans wanted to compete with the Chinese. So the king of the time was informed that this is the situation. So he said that let the Romans and the Chinese compete, no problem. So there were two walls put against each other, and a curtain was put in between them. The two walls were given to the Chinese and the Romans to do the needful, to make a very beautiful painting. And the king said that whatever you need for painting, whatever brush, whatever kind of color you need, you tell us and we will put it at your disposal. But after a certain duration, you have to show us how is the painting. So both started the painting. And obviously the walls that they got were such that they were not very clean, they were dirty. So both started the painting, and after the duration was finished, the king came to see and observe what had transpired. When they opened the Chinese side, there are some cars blocking the entrance near the old ladies. So please move these cars immediately. You are requested. The cars car numbers are B63626, J86535, C239. I repeat, B63626, J86535, C239. Recite a salawat. So when the king comes and observes the painting, he first goes to the section of the Chinese and he is overwhelmed. He says, so beautiful the painting has been done. And obviously throughout that month the Chinese were asking for different kinds of colors, and the different kinds of colors were brought to them. So he was extremely fascinated. And the curtain of course was removed. When he looked at the Romans' painting, they had not yet started painting. But they had cleaned that slate in such a way that it became like a mirror, such that whatever was there opposite was completely depicted in a more beautiful way there. And the king said, the Romans are the winners. Because this is what is the reality, that if you want to have the best painting depicted in that slate that we have given you, you have to clean yourself first, prepare yourself first. And this is what we should do. In order for the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shine in our hearts, we need preparation. So these are the days that we can prepare. The climax is 19th night, 21st night and 23rd night. So let us prepare, inshallah. What I am going to do is I am going to enlist the things that we can do, perhaps if we can try to do. And even if we can't do everything that is depicted in this ahadith, but I give you a very beautiful anecdote, and some of the authoritative scholars say that this is a true anecdote. Now, I'm not sure which prophet narrated this anecdote, but it is that of an ant. An ant, once upon a time, got in love with another ant, and he told her that I love you. So she said, okay, if you love me, you know this stone that is blocking you and me, make sure you remove that stone and come to me. And that stone was something so huge that if we were to start working on it, it may take, for example, 1 month or 2 months. So what about an ant? So that ant said, I'll do it. Somebody came to that ant and said, that are you crazy? If you start doing this, then after a certain duration you will die while you will be inside. You will not finish this. You know what the ant said? The ant said, that is how I like to die, in love of my mahbub. And this is the reality of what we are going to do. If these actions that I'm going to tell you will be hard, because the number is about 1,100 and all that, if it's going to be hard, at least go in the path of the Mahbub. And that Mahbub himself will take you to your destination. So these are the things that are mentioned in the riwayat. Obviously, I have the riwayat at my disposal, but I know the time is very limited. So let me enumerate them and we will go further. One is that, as I mentioned before, that if a person recites Salatul Jama'ah, Maghrib, Isha, Dhuhr, Subh, all the Salat in Jama'ah, then he is going to comprehend a share of Laylatul Qadr. In another hadith it is said that you don't need to go in all these at all these times. Even Maghrib and Isha, if a person observes that in Jama'ah till the end of the holy month of Ramadan, then he is going to comprehend Laylatul Qadr up to a certain extent. Obviously when we say up to a certain extent, because when inshaAllah when we look at the commentary of Laylatul Qadr, I will let you know that Laylatul Qadr is something to be comprehended. It's a reality. It's not only a night. It is a reality that transpires at a night, and that is why we call that night as Laylatul Qadr. But it is a reality that transpires. Recite a salawat, please. This is one thing that a person can do. Another important thing is that if a person recites the Suratul Qadr 1,000 times, recite a salawat, please. If a person recites Suratul Qadr 1,000 times, then on the 23rd night, he will hear things which not any ordinary person can hear. That is what is depicted in the riwayah. So it is important that every night 1,000 times, and the same principle of Habib and Mahbub that I told you, that if it's not 1,000 times, then at least 100 times. If not 100 times, at least 50 times. If not 50 times, at least 30 times. But you are in that path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah does not burden a soul except that which it can bear. Now, the third thing, according to one beautiful riwayah, that if a person gives sadaqah of one dirham every day and has this in mind, that he is hopeful that he is going to comprehend Laylatul Qadr. Also, he will have the ability to comprehend Laylatul Qadr. And the fourth thing again is Suratul Dukhan 100 times every night. And on the 23rd night, you will vision the affirmation of what you sought, and that is Laylatul Qadr. You will really vision that state. That is why you find that great scholars like Sayyid Raziuddin bin Tawus, who has written Iqbalul A'mal, if you look at the allusions that he has made, you find that he also could see Laylatul Qadr without even telling you that what is the date tonight? Is it 24th or 23rd or is it 18th or 19th? But because of that purity of heart, people can comprehend when Laylatul Qadr has come. So inshallah, we will struggle and we will try. The most important thing is that process of takhliya, that is self-purification. If a person purifies himself from within, then you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable the light to shine in his heart. Recite the salawat. Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, addressing a companion of him called Ibn Shabib, says, Ya Ibn Shabib, in kunta bakiyan lishay'in fabki lil-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, fa'innahu dhubiha kama yudhbahu al-kabsh. O son of Shabib, if you are going to cry for something, then cry for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, for he was slaughtered the way a lamb is slaughtered. وَلَقَدْ بَكَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرَضُونَ لِقَتْلِهِ. Surely the heavens and the earth cried because of him being martyred. وَلَقَدْ نَزَلَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَرْبَعَةَ آلَافٍ لِنَصْرِهِ فَوَجَدُوهُ قَدْ قُتِلَ. Indeed, 4,000 angels came down to help him and they saw that he has already been killed. Ya ibn Shabib, in bakayta ala al-Husayn hatta tasira dumu'uka ala khaddayk ghafara Allahu laka kull dhanb. O son of Shabib, if you cry over Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam until your tears reach your cheeks, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive every sin of yours that you have sinned. Saghiran kana aw kabiran, whether it is small or big. Qaleelan kana aw kathiran, whether it is less or more. يا ابن الشبيب إن صرت أن تلقى الله عز وجل ولا ذنب عليك فزر الحسين عليه السلام. O son of Shabib, if you are happy that you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have no sin over you, then visit Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. It is said that Atiyah bin al-Awfi says that I went with Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari on the 40th towards Karbala to visit the grave of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا وَرَدْنَا كَرْبَلَا. When we entered Karbala, Dana Jabir min Shati il Furat. Jabir came near Furat, faghtasala thumma ittazara bi izar waltada bi akhar. He did his ghusl and thereafter he clad in his new clothes, thumma fataha surratan fiha su'ud. Then he opened a small tin where there was perfume, fanataraha ala badanihi, and he spread it on himself. ثم لم يخطو خطوة إلا ذكر الله. Thereafter he did not take any step except he remembered Allah سبحانه وتعالى. حتى إذا دنا من القبر, until he reached the grave. قال, because he was blind, he told Atiyah, ألمسنيه, make me touch the grave of Imam الحسين عليه السلام. فألمسته, so I made him touch the grave. فَخَرَّ عَلَى الْقَبْرِ مَغْشِيًّا عَلَيْهِ. Thereafter, Jabir fell into unconsciousness. فَرَشَشْتُ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا مِّنَ الْمَاءِ. And I sprinkled over him some water. فَأَفَاقَ. And he came into his senses. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Thereafter he said, addressing Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين حبيب لا يجيب حبيبا. He repeated Imam Hussein's name three times and thereafter said that how can a beloved not respond to the call of a lover. ثم قال وأن لك بالجواب وقد شحفت أوداجك وفرق بين بدنك ورأسك. And oh Hussein, how can you respond to my call when your neck has been separated from your body. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.